Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
La 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 la.
There she is. We've had a week off.
We've had a week off, Judith, and we're back.
No, you poor thing.
And I'm not back with a vengeance. We'll talk about my health later. I might bang on a bit. I've become boring women. Very boring women that wakes up in the morning and tells everybody about how I'm feeling. Down to
It's called old age, isn't it?
Yes,
it's called old
last
age.
Tiny detail about how my toenails are throbbing a tiny little bit. But we're in a mess, Judith. This country is in a fucking mess. This is the week that we have had to face up to the fact that we are in a mire of shit.
I know. It really does feel like that, doesn't it? I mean, it's like it's one thing after another.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I know you put something on the Twitter yesterday saying that you did feel a little bit sorry for that, for you know, when she resigned.
I didn't say I felt sorry for, not exactly. It was couched in a slightly different, vaguer term than that.
Well, you know,
I said, I don't want to feel sorry for her, but I wonder what it must feel like to be her.
With her tearful resignation. I know. She's fucked.
Of course she was fucking crying. Of course she's crying her eyes out. She's blown it. Absolutely fucked the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's very aging, isn't it? Guilt, isn't it? Aging. You know, you know those clips of her last year when she was all smirky and smug and
doing the jokes about the party, all hair flicky. She was hair flicky, wasn't she?
She was hair flicky. Her makeup was in good nick.
Nice pair of shoes.
She was on the sort of slightly sexy slouch over the podium. She'd been wearing a different kind of shirt, you'd have seen some cleavage. And then cut to the weepy resignation outside the posh house in Canterbury.
Yeah.
And she looked in her 60s.
Oh. Well, she really did, didn't she? I mean, it's awful, isn't it? I mean, but come on. I know she's that indiscretion, that arrogance, it was terrible.
It's unforgivable. It's terrible.
But on a human level, I kind of watched it yesterday, her resignation, and I just thought, well, do you know what? I've done some terrible stuff at work. I've done terrible indiscretions at work.
You've not laughed at a country obeying rules, at millions of people. Nothing we have ever done, Judith, has ever affected that many people. You know, it's a few thousand here and there, particularly with you and your telly jobs and all that kind of thing. But really, it's not the state of the nation. We have never...
No, I know. But just...
I don't think you're capable of being callous. I don't think you've got a callous bone in your body. I really don't. And that's why you're actually saying now that you can empathise with the woman.
Oh, I don't know. Probably not callous, but careless, indiscreet. Oh, my God. But do you not sometimes think, I mean, you know, oh, my God, I might wake up one morning and I might think, oh, shit, you know, I ran somebody over or, God, I've been in jail forever.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that horror,
yes, definitely. I don't drive at night, particularly for that reason. Isn't it odd, that sort of guilt before you've done anything wrong? But that one of accidentally running somebody over.
I know, and just kind of not noticing, and then there'd be a knock on the door, and they'd say, well, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we've got some paint on this jacket and all this kind of... Why is it that we've got that? I mean, I think it must be sort of some deep-seated... guilt about something else. I don't know, you know, terrible things we've done in the past. None of us, and I'll include Daisy in this, unless she's got something terrible to tell us at the end of the show, in which case she must resign forthwith. but none of us have ended. And the thing is, I think that they all had this golden ticket with Boris's party, didn't they? Before the corona came along, they were all sort of so hugger-mugger and incestuous. And I mean, she is the godmother of Rishi's Rishi Sunak's children and vice versa.
Is she? Hadn't realised that. Gosh.
Yes, they're all they're close, godparents to each other. I don't think politicians should be allowed to have godchildren because it's just.
Oh, that's a bit strong, Jenny.
No, I don't. I don't believe in godparents per se. But,
oh well, you know. But you godparents know. In inverted commas, I think that's fine. But no, it's a bit strong.
Well, I don't think politicians should be able because they abuse it. It's always used further down the line for some kind of abuse. It's always getting someone a leg up. It's always it's that kind of thing. It's connections. It's just breeding more connections. I woke up this morning and that was my first thought, that we should ban politicians from having godchildren.
That's quite it's not a task.
Practical.
It's that's, not, that's quite a task. But happen. You know, but just before we leave it, I mean, what struck me about that video was the kind of, as you say, that sort of relaxed relationship with the press. And that is just stupid. That is just careless of her to think that she could have that. It was a bit of cheese and wine. You know, it was a meeting. Come on. It was that silly kind of, I want you to be my chum. And we've got to be chum. We're chums here. OK, so we've got that stuff going on out there. And we've got this media kind of little bubble where we say, actually, you know, the real stuff. Stupid, silly, careless. Sorry, shouldn't be doing it.
Okay, so... Anyway,
right, that's so that's that then. We've done our... Got that out of the way. Now, listen, Mrs.
Yes.
You've not been well. Well, you aren't well. Jenny, tell us.
I've got an ongoing condition. I mean, the reason why we're so sorry we couldn't do the podcast last week, but all you'd heard from me was,
I know.
And not in a sexual kind of way. There's just been moaning in a pain and agony kind of way. Turned over last Tuesday in my bed to get out of bed. Well, that was my first mistake. And something went twang in my neck. And I thought,
twang. Yeah. Define twang.
There was this little something seemed to nudge and click and just go.
And then like I thought, shooting.
And then, this has got to be, I've got to kind of reel this back. I got out of bed and started doing some, you know, rolling of the shoulders and all that kind of thing.
And I
could only get any sort of relief from having my hands above my head. And it became very apparent that it was left-hand side of my neck. And I'd seen my chiropractor for... I've been having sciatica for the last 6 weeks. It's all tour damage, to be quite honest.
This tour's
broken.
Too much. Relentlessly.
So I went to see Daniel, who saved me on many occasions. He said, oh, no, this is a totally different injury. And he sort of did some cricking and cracking and all that. And he said, I think you'll be fine now. And as I walked out, I thought, no, I'm not. This is something much, much worse. This is deep. Really? And so by lunchtime last Tuesday, and I won't go through hour by hour because it's over a week.
Are you sure? I mean, I'm up for it, but go on, yeah.
My sister came around. I was crawling on the floor.
Jenny, you poor love.
So she stepped over me. And and then Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, I woke up in such agony at 3 a.m. on Wednesday morning. I just did not, I did not know what to do with myself.
Oh, my God.
And instead of ringing 111, which would have been the sensible thing to do, I wanted some drugs there and then. I wanted someone to smack me in the face and make me unconscious.
Mm.
So I got Jeff to drive me to King's, which is only round the corner.
Sure.
And I registered at the front desk at Accident and Emergency.
Mm.
And then a nurse gave me some painkillers, and he said two of these are quite strong. So I thought, thank fuck for that. And then they sent me to wait in urgent care. You know, a small clinic, it looks like a doctor's waiting room, round the corner, where there were only about seven people. I thought, Judith, I'm in here. Seven people.
We'll
get through this. This will be a couple of hours max.
What time of day is this?
It's 3 a.m.
Oh, my God.
It's 3:20 a.m. now.
Grim.
So it's quiet. All the drunks have gone home. They've been sorted and they've fucked off home. These are, you know, we've been left with people who are in serious trouble or have got nowhere else to sleep. So there's a guy asleep in the corner. It's obviously, you know, just come in for a kip. So nobody's sitting near him because a bit of a whiff. So I chose a two-seater seat with, you know, one seat you're not allowed to sit in because of corona.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought, this is my safe space here. And then after about an hour, I thought, everyone else has been much cleverer than me. They've got the three-seaters. And it was like being on an aeroplane all of a sudden, Judith. It was as if somebody had come in and turned the lights off and just said, right, you're all going to sleep now because nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Not one person was seen while I was there.
Oh, my goodness. Really? So you were just in a holding area all night, basically?
We're just in a holding area. And there was a reception bay with a screen and there was nobody behind it. There was nobody keeping an eye on us. You could have died in that urgent care room.
Urgent care.
Listen, I'm not slagging off because I think that, you know, when you come in and you register and the nurse sort of sees, you know, writes down what's wrong with you, I think they sort the wheat from the chaff.
Well, they're bound to triage, aren't they? Yes, of course they are.
Like, if anybody's head is hanging off, they're kind of going to put them somewhere a bit more special than urgent care. I think it's a bit like that Fraser thing when he finds out there's a club that's better than the club he belongs to and it's got a special door. And you just think, well, there's obviously an urgent care door somewhere, you know, with a silver door.
If only I could find it,
I need the membership to that urgent care. This is just urgent care, it's a shit club. And anyway, we all went to sleep as seven strangers. We just slept with each other overnight. And then, of course, you know, there was one woman, you know, when we were talking about this last week, and you said, you know, when sometimes people turn out to be the same age as you, and you think, well, yeah, but you look 90.
There was
a woman, I thought she was loads older than me. She turned out to be 63, but she was in a terrible state. And, of course, she woke up really early and started chatting.
Just thought,
fuck's sake, it's only 6 o'clock. Go back to sleep. Then I, at 7 o'clock when I woke up in agony, I tried to get some more pain relief and I was given two paracetamol. I thought, well, I've got these in my bag.
Really? So
I left at 8:20. I thought, I've done 5 hours.
Oh, Jenny, what a waste of time.
I discharged myself and then I phoned my GP, couldn't get through. And then I thought, oh, sod this. I can't, this is so painful. I went private, Judith.
Well, what choice did you have?
I had no choice.
Terrifying. Absolutely, really frightening. When you describe that sounds really frightening because your pain is, you know, it's so difficult to deal with.
It's debilitating. And you wouldn't have taken. I'm exhausted.
I bet you are.
And I had these 4 gigs left to do. It was now Wednesday, and all I was thinking was, I've got to get this sorted by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Those were the gigs. And this is Wednesday. What am I going to do? So that was adding to the stress. I was off my face.
And the urgency of you finding out what was going on. Could you do it or could you not? I mean, you know, obviously there was no way you could carry on and do those gigs. No. No way.
Went to private doctor, got some strong pain relief. And and then he referred me to get an MRI scan.
Is that the tunnel? Are you talking about the tunnel?
Have you tunnelled, Judith?
I have not tunnelled. And do you know, it's one of the things in life that I am most frightened of.
Do you know what,
I'll have to tunnel one day.
As a fully paid up hypochondriac, I think there should be a kind of, not a fairground, I'm not saying there should be a fairground of hypochondria, but for those who haven't ever had their arm put in a plaster cast or whatever, maybe there could be quite an expensive day out where you just experience, you know, some things, not surgery. I don't think we should go that far. I don't think.
Possibly not.
You know, some triagey kind of things that get done. Maybe just having your arm put in a sling, just so you know how
procedures.
That feels.
That's a terrible word, isn't it? Procedures are a terrifying word.
And I think, unfortunately, the MRI scan ride would be quite expensive because it cost me £950.
Oh, Jesus, did it. I know. I think I did it years ago for my back. But I didn't have to go in. It was just my back. Did you have to go in head first,
I was in for half an hour.
I was in
for a long time. Well, I went in with my eyes shut, Judith. I just thought there's no point having your eyes open in this.
Oh, God.
Because I'm very claustrophobic, as we know.
Yeah, well, I know, precisely. So am I. Tell me about your coping strategy. What I want to know is
I went
is the
in
mental...
with my eyes shut so that I didn't know how close it was to me. I
decided... Sensible.
Yeah, and it's so fucking noisy. You just have to pretend you're at a rave. Because all it does is goes ding, ding, drrr, ring, ring, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding, ding. Very good impression. I mean, the thing is, isn't it? You know, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm terrified of it. But I guess, like you, when it comes to it, you ain't got any choice. You have not got any choice.
No choice.
So you just have to be a grown up and bloody well get on with it. Yeah. And somehow you do.
So, and then got the results an hour and a half later, obviously, because I've you know, I've paid for this, and that's what you get. But people would be furious with me by this point. But I've got gigs here. I'm fucking over theatres and my tour manager, and people are relying on me, and bar staff, and all that kind of thing. And it's just the guilt of it. So I've got to find out if you know, if I'm worth the sort of, if the pain is worth cancelling everything. I've got to find out.
And of course, sort of, yes. I mean, you know, I absolutely get that. And did somebody say to you, Jenny, look, there is no way you can do these gigs?
Yes.
Did somebody? Yeah, good, good.
Yes. And but I still don't understand what people mean by rest. He said you have to rest and manage this pain. And then if it still doesn't go away next week, we'll think about an injection.
Gosh,
but so I spent 2 days in bed, 2 days totally flat on my, I couldn't do anything. And since then I've been getting up, and I've been seeing a physio and an acupuncturist. But my physio is concerned about the fact that I have three fingers on my left hand that don't work. They're sort of paralysed.
And only one,
the index finger works a little bit. So she's made me an appointment with a neurosurgeon.
Yeah,
to try and get to the bottom of why there is the neck pain is getting better.
Yeah,
that's quite bad today.
Left hand or right hand?
Left hand. Thank fuck.
Gosh, yes.
Oh my god, Judith. Oh my god, if this is my right hand,
I would be not
suicidal. That's naughty to say that, but I'd be
Be difficult. Beside myself. What is it you're finding difficult to do at the minute? What are the things that are tricky?
Well, I've got my hand in a splint, so that's difficult. I can't cut up food. My left hand will not use, can't operate a fork. It's too weak. Buttons are hard. It's just slow. Everything's very slow.
Yeah, that, you know, that's the thing, isn't it? Is when you're poorly, it is. It's and I guess, you know, if you have a long term disability, I mean, please God, you know, you won't have, and I'm sure you won't. But it is. I would think everything would take you twice as long. Everything you do would be inconvenient.
Typing. I can only type with one hand, and this little index finger sometimes has a go, but it usually misses the keys and just flonks around the place. Right. It's like typing with one good hand and a sausage.
That's an interesting image. I mean, nerves are funny things, though, aren't they? I mean, I remember a dentist once drilled down into the nerve of my, you know, he did a filling really badly. And I remember going on the tube and the anaesthetic wearing out. Basically, he'd exposed a nerve in my tooth, right? I know.
Yeah.
And I remember, and I thought, it's wearing off a bit now. But Jesus, I had never felt pain like it. I mean, so much worse than childbirth, so much worse than anything else. And I would imagine, you know, that what you did is something similar to that, because if you have torn a nerve and
I think it's called nerve impingement. It's nerve impingement, something like that. So we'll just see what the next stage is decided.
Well, you're gonna have to be a brave girl and be sensible. But you know, but to be honest, it is a wake-up call, isn't it? And it is your body saying, actually, look, you're 61.
How dare you?
Well, you are. It's a lot to expect of yourself. All those long journeys, sitting down. And I know you were, you know, you weren't looking after your body because the schedule was so bad. And I just think
the schedule was bad. I will defend the schedule because I didn't think it was a tough tour at all. I've done much tougher tours.
Yeah, but when you were younger, Jenny,
because the Grumpy tours were much harder, Judith. There were much more shows. But I think that I am a bit older, and I think last year, instead of spending it, you know, like the world divided into those who went all Peloton crazy and, you know, improved their bodies went all fitness mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the rest of us just slumped in front of the telly. Guess which gang I was in.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I was in the first gang which is, I'm not saying no. But I do think as you get older, you have to, you know, you just have to work a bit harder at it, and you can't sit down for so long. You can't be sedentary for so long.
You've got a dog, and I've got books to write. My problem is I love sitting down writing, and I can spend 8 hours a day here. It was very, very happily. And I know, because I've worked with you, you have to stop and you have to go for a walk. You're like a Labrador yourself. You just have to go out and get fresh air.
I get restless. I just can't sit still. I can't sit still for that long. It is a wake-up call.
And I've got to get to the bottom of it and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I keep saying really pathetically to, you know, physios and acupuncturists and people, do you think I should get a dog?
You're joking. Oh, because of the exercise.
Yeah.
Somebody tell me I've got to have a dog.
Yeah, will you tell me?
You've got to have a dog, Jenny. You've got to have a dog. Anyway, just before we leave you honest, I want to know how many Valium you've got stashed away.
Oh, God, I've got loads now because my GP got really guilty because when I eventually went to see them, and he was really shocked by my hand as well because he went, so you can't do that? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So referred me, get this. I'll finish on this. Mm. And I'm not slagging anybody off, but this is fucking ridiculous. So really nice GP. I mean, monosyllabic will not speak to me because I'm trying to, I'm chatting away. And he will not speak to me, will not engage in conversation. He's probably just thinking, oh, shut up, I've got a lot of people to see. But anyway, in the end, he says, I'm going to refer you to physio at King's.
Right.
And I'm thinking, great, that would save me a great deal of money.
It's handy.
Handy. Happy to swap over to NHS whenever it's available. I obviously don't expect it now. So he refers me and sends an email off. And I think, well, I wonder when I'll hear. 24 hours later, I get a text saying you have been referred for physio at King's. Book an appointment online this number and this code word. I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
So I get online and the first appointment, it isn't that bad, Judith. It's the 4th of January. That's not bad, 4th of January. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I need treatment in between, but 4th of January... that's not bad. And then I look at the times, and the available times, 4:15 a.m.
What?
No. Yes, 4:15 a.m., 4:45 a.m. And I'm thinking, there's a glitch in this. They've got, I'll book a 4:15, and they must mean p.m.
Then
there's a phone number, and I thought, well, I'll just phone them to just say, you do mean 4:15 p.m., don't you? Or do I turn up at 4:15 a.m.? Because this is, at this point, the madness is so much. You're thinking,
I will go. Yes.
It's a bit like catching a plane. You just go, okay, that's the slot. I'm going. I'll set an alarm and I'll be there. So I get through. And on the line, it's all this, dial one if this or two if this choice. And it keeps saying, please book online. If you're capable of using a computer, will you please book online? Phone calls, there's nothing we can offer you on the phone that we can't offer you online. Not go to WW? Yeah, all this. So, and I just wait because I've got my appointment at 4:15 a.m. on the 4th of January. But I just need to get through to a guy called Paul. And he goes, No, that's a fictional appointment.
What?
I shit you not, Judith. I said, I beg your pardon. He said, you'll get a letter saying that appointment doesn't exist. I said, pardon? He said, no, it's just what you've done is you bagsied a slot for someone to look at your referral to see if it's worth being referred.
You're joking.
And whether you can have a referral.
Oh, then, my God.
So he said, so you'll probably get two letters. One will be cancelling that.
Yeah.
That
fictional
date,
appointment.
Fiction appointment. And the other one will be, say, we will be finding an appointment at some point down the line.
The money all that will be as well? Two letters?
I said, so I haven't booked myself an appointment on the 4th of January. He went, no. I said, Paul, do you mind me saying, I think this is mental. And he said, I don't disagree.
Good grief.
Yeah, so that's what we're dealing with there. But
My God!
Anyway, that's enough of my pain.
Well, so listen. So you're seeing the neurosurgeon tomorrow, thing, aren't you?
No, today.
Or is it today?
Judith,
today.
Yes,
okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed.
Yes.
If you can cross them, I don't know. You can.
On one hand, on the other hand, you must be fucking joking.
Sorry.
I think it's that thing where they're going to ask me to pick up hundreds of thousands off a table.
Oh, little, yes, yeah, yeah. Maybe, yeah, maybe. Well, no
you'd
chance,
like that, you'd eat,
no
then.
Chance. Oh, lick your finger, lick your good finger, and then bit like that.
So let's leave pain and all that now. Let's go to you now.
Well,
I've had a
kind of mental fog. I think I've had several examples. Quite worried about myself, actually.
Yeah.
But Yeah. So, for instance, I mean, it seems a long time ago now, doesn't it? But you know that the Cornish apartment sort of website thing that I did, and I did that, you know, which is.
Can you remember the website address now? I want everyone to go and get their pens and paper if you want to stay at Judith's apartment, which is lovely in Cornwall. You can get to it via a website, which is called
www.cornishhideawaysingular.co.uk. Now, this is the problem. I've just, you know, last time I talked about it on the podcast, I said .com. Loads of people said, well, we can't get on. Then I put it on the Instagram. Okay, this is the kind of mental fog we're talking about. Put it on the Instagram thing. I got it wrong again. And then people were saying, are you sure it's .com or is it .com.co.uk, Judith? Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And then people tried, the gang were trying, I think, to press the link on the Instagram because
you can't. You can't press through.
Just
you can't.
A photograph.
You can do that on Twitter, but you cannot do it on Instagram.
No, because it's just a photo, basically. Yes, as I remember Daisy telling us right at the beginning when we were learning about Instagram.
When we're all those stabbing at our phones trying to get links on Instagram, you can't.
Yeah. Yes. So that's, you know, one mental fog example of me just not knowing what the fuck I was doing.
Yeah.
And then the other day, I went shopping, right, okay, and I'd been to the dry cleaners, I went to Screwfix, or, you know, the usual shit, and I can hear you laughing. Then I went to pick up something at Next, then I went to Waitrose, right? So I went round with the trolley, got to the self-service, couldn't find my purse, and, oh, God, said to the guy at Waitrose, look, can you just watch my shopping, and I'll go to Next, you know, and get my purse. Wasn't it Next, so then I had to go back.
Was that the last
to...
time you'd used it?
Yes, so I, you know, I retraced it. It wasn't it Next. It took me ages, got to a queue. Came back to the man at Waitrose and said, you know, I've now got to change car parts because I've got to go somewhere else. Can you do it? You better put it all back. You know, that's annoying.
Didn't you have another card on you?
No, because they're all in the purse. Well, they're all in one place now. I've got the post-lockdown reduced purse.
Yeah, me too.
You know, all of us.
I've got my card on my phone, though.
Oh, like the young people, have you?
Yeah, but I'm not sure how far up it goes. Okay.
What do you mean, how far up? Well, how far up?
Well, I don't know whether you can do £200 shop on it.
Oh, I see.
I'm not too sure.
Oh, I see. I doubt it. Anyway, so I went to Waitrose, you know, all the shopping went back, got in the car, went back to Screwfix again, that's queue up, you know, not there, went to drug cleaners, not there. I thought, bloody hell, well, somebody's picked it up, haven't they? That really, really is annoying. I was really fed up. Got home. Mike had bought himself quite a large pork pie, which I literally just ate, you know, with my coat on. So cross. And sat down on the sofa and thought, right, OK, here we go. I'll start ringing the bloody banks and everything. Finally got through, at which point I looked at my handbag and kind of noticed a sort of different section in it. And there was my purse all the time.
Judith.
All that wasted. I mean, what is wrong with me? I mean, that is really bad, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's, I know.
That is a wasted morning. That's, you know, there's a lot of energy there. I can feel the energy. You could have powered the national grid with the fury and the upset
so
and all that.
Stupid.
Yeah, and then
I had to go back
and get it all over again. Oh, boring.
Yeah, I know. And I'd eaten a great big pork pie as well.
Oh, well, that,
you know,
just forget that. Cancel that out because you can't help that.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
But you know this sort of brain foggy thing. I think I'm going to diagnose this now as well. I'm on a roll with diagnosis.
Yeah.
I think you're pregnant. I think you're. I think what you've done is you've sort of come out in sympathy with Sienna.
Oh, like, you know, grandmother.
That
is there a syndrome? Maybe there's a syndrome.
You could call it Judith syndrome because you might be the first sufferer.
Yeah.
Judith syndrome, which is basically you get the baby brain fog.
Of a grandmother. It's a grandmother. Yeah, and I've got double dose of it because it's twins.
You might be right. It's incredible. You can get out the house without, you know, locking yourself in, out, whatever. So Judith syndrome, which is a sort of brain grandmother brain fog, because you will be distracted at all times. There will be a little bit of your brain that is thinking, what's happening with those
babies? All the time. I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe a double bit baby sling. All the time. Absolutely. Now we're on to the pregnancy. I went to the scan this week. I was allowed to go to the scan. Oh, it's very exciting, Jenny.
Can you see their faces? What do you see?
All quite fuzzy, isn't it? It is quite fuzzy. I mean, I think it's less fuzzy than when we were pregnant. But tell you what was kind of weird is that they said, date of birth. And of course the date of birth, well, obviously it's her date of birth. It's the date that I gave birth. And then all over the kind of scan was her date of birth. And there was something really sort of genetic baton-y about it. And it was kind of, it was very, very thrilling. That was thrilling. And yeah, I mean, I saw 4 feet. I saw 4 little feet.
I'm glad you did. I mean, it's a good job there weren't 6. 4 little feet.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still very little. But you could see 1 foot kicking the umbilical cord in its sort of sack. But the thing that is exactly the same as when you and I were pregnant, I think, is the sound of the baby's heartbeat. You know, that wow.
Yeah, and it's really fast, isn't it? Yeah,
it's really fast and it's really loud.
And the first time you hear it, you just think, Jesus Christ, that's loud.
Yeah. Oh, well, I cried, you know. I did cry, obviously.
That's fine,
obviously.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, Judith syndrome.
Well, she sent me the spreadsheet now, you know. We had the wedding spreadsheet. We've now got the twins spreadsheet.
What's on it? I don't understand.
Well, she's in full nesting mode at the moment, hence the spreadsheet, okay? Yeah. So last night I went and picked up a second-hand changing table for her. Yeah. You know, we're all on that. We're all researching car seats and all this business. She's in full nesting mode. You know that thing that you get into, which I remember really well, like, I've got to have the baskets there. I've got to know that I've got, a bin there.
I'm not sure I did all that.
Oh, you're such a sloven compared to
me. Well, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I know I had a basket for it. I had a wicker basket, a bassinet thing on a stand, like a crib.
And
that could come, and the basket bit could come off the stand.
Yeah.
And you could carry it. And then, did I have a carry cot as well? I really quite vague.
But did you have, you must have had loads of clothes and prams and all that sort of lined
didn't
up,
I,
surely?
Well, remember, I lived in a flat. We lived on the first floor. There wasn't any way you could wheel a pram in and leave it.
Blimey. That must have been difficult.
So, yeah, but loads of people put up with that sort of stuff.
Did you have a dumb waiter? Did you have one of those little things where you put Phoebe in a little thing, you know, at the bottom and then hoisted her up? That'd be a
very good idea. There was a lot. I do remember sort of finding it much easier after 6 months when I got this little kind of skinny pram thing. It was like an umbrella.
I had one of those. They were flimsy as hell, weren't they?
Terribly bad for them, you know.
Probably not allowed now.
I don't see them these days.
They're
used to get them
allowed
from Mother Care, and they were about 12.
Absolutely. I know that you could lift them on one finger, couldn't you? They were really fling them in the car.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, that's all changed. All sorts of things have changed. So, for instance, on the spreadsheet, I noticed there are electric, electric nail cutters. I mean,
that's just, you bite your children's nails for them. That's what you do.
No, I didn't do that. But don't forget, she's got, how many has she got?
It's 20 fingers, 20 digits.
She's got, that's
and
why
then
she's,
the toes. And then the toes. Getting an electric one.
Yeah, she probably thinks she needs an industrial.
Yeah.
It's
bloody hell, I have to get a garden around. Anyway, and you've been socialising, so you've been in an antenatal ward, and you've been to a wedding.
Went to a wedding in Norwich, and do you know, I have never been to Norwich before.
Isn't it lovely? It's one of the places I always think, I could live here. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah,
it's got that lovely
too.
Market centre with the little huts. Did you see the little huts?
I did. But the restaurants and white
and the cathedral and the,
it's the castle.
Lovely theatre, Norwich Playhouse. It's great for comedy. And there's a little, Barbara Hepworth, sculpture outside. No, it's very civilised. Very civilised.
It's a lovely place. It's a bit out of the way, though, isn't it? It is. Oh,
there's no motorway, Judith. There's no motorway.
That's right. There's no motorway.
It's an A road, and it goes on forever. Halfway along the A road, you look to one side, and there's a folly with a pineapple on the top.
Yes, right next to the road. I noticed that.
Did you manage to get a photograph out? I have passed that folly, I'd say, 120 times.
Gosh,
and I have never got my phone out in time to take a good photograph.
Well, if you were driving, it's probably just as well.
Well, it's not. But I'm never driving. It's always the tour manager driving. But when it was Chris George, he used to piss himself laughing because I had the same tour driver for many years.
Oh, what, so you'd get ready and then you'd miss it?
And he'd say, it's coming. And then I'd start trying to... No, I would never, ever, ever get anything more than a blurred mess. Anyway,
it's just strange, isn't it? Because I can only assume that they must have built that road through some lovely estate because it's right there. It's right on the road. It is peculiar.
Yeah.
But I tell you what was lovely about the wedding is that it was very informal and it was, Ellen was the maid of honour, which was sweet. Lovely to see her, actually. Yeah. And, you know, the outfit and everything. And... they were very sort of considerate. So they sat us next to Ellen and Aaron, which, you know, because sometimes those seating plans could be really, you know, you're next to somebody and you think, oh, God, I've heard all about this and all about that and I'm so bored with you.
Yeah.
But actually it was lovely. We had a nice catch up with them and the food was a sort of free for all. You know, just kept it coming. You know, nothing formal. It was lovely and informal and there was bowling and I had some nice comfy shoes on, a lot of dancing. It was good. It was lovely.
Did you just keep the bowling shoes? You know, when they give you your bowling shoes, you think they did. Just keep these.
Well, as if. God, you know me well, don't you? It's the sort of thing I'd actually think about. No, we didn't have bowling shoes. It was sort of, it wasn't a 10-pin bowling alley. It was kind of a venue with a, you know, so you wore your own shoes. Oh. But it was... It was nice to have something to do, you know.
Oh, God, absolutely. I think, I mean, I'd have a craft corner.
That's an idea.
You know, bring a pinny because we might be doing something with papier-mâché halfway through so that people don't get bored.
That is such a good idea. At the table.
Absolutely. You know, we're going to make a centrepiece or whatever. Absolutely. Because weddings are fucking boring. I don't care what anyone says. They go on long. And did you do dancing?
We did it. Yeah, we did a lot of dancing. But I tell you what was really funny is Mike has this thing. And obviously Jess and Henry, it's a bit of a joke, you know, amongst the young people, is that he loves John Paul's. I don't quite remember what track it is, but it's a kind of rappy number. Do you know John Paul? John Paul.
I've heard of him, but I don't know the back catalogue.
He's called
Sean Paul.
Oh, Sean Paul!
That's right. I keep saying John Paul. It's Sean Paul. But it's a ridiculous, rappy number. And Mike, when he dances, he looks, you know, he does that kind of, not exactly Mick Jagger, but he does something with his shoulders that are kind of Jagger-esque. And obviously the young people just think it's hilarious. So they specially played it. And it was kind of, it was a bit like, you know, when we get really old, people will applaud us for out knowing our own age, or we'll do something and it'll go, it was a bit like
Well done, the old people, for taking to the floor.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah. Jeff and I haven't danced for ages together. We haven't been to an event for a long time, but he has a funny dancing face.
You know, like, Does he?
You know, like, so what's you said doing? Mike's shoulders, he just, don't know, his face goes into this shape, and I think, I don't know whether I find it attractive or really annoying. I don't know whether
is it his mouth? Is it his mouth?
Yeah, it's a sort of slight pout goes on. Anyway, there we go.
Oh,
is it time, do you think, for Culture Corner, Judith?
Well, it probably is.
I have done very little. I've seen telly, not much. Go on, what have you got for me, telly-wise?
Oh, well, I've got quite a lot, really. Scenes from a Marriage on Now TV/Sky, I think I mentioned before. Absolutely fantastic. Daisy recommended it to me. It is really good.
Okay.
And then I watched The Princes and the Press, two-parter, which is kind of a bit like, you know, it's a documentary with Amal Rajan about obviously the princes and their relationship with the press.
I couldn't be bothered with that. I started that and just got bored. Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know. Well, for me, that's like a rugby international. You know, it's the equivalent of me sitting down. Like Mike does when he watches Man U. You know, we can't talk to anybody. Can't look away even. So it was very, very... I thought it was good. And I think Amal Rajan's a brilliant broadcaster. And it was a very interesting sort of train of thought. I don't know why you got bored with that. You didn't try hard enough.
Okay,
so
maybe I'll go back to...
Well, you know, it's not so important.
So, like, redo this homework. Redo
yes.
this homework.
Yes, I think you're fine.
Please come see me.
Come back and see me when you've yeah. watched it properly. What else have I said? Oh, have you seen You Don't Know Me? This new drama on BBC One.
No, but I think I have it earmarked.
Oh, it is so good. It is so good. It's a really...
Did that start on Sunday night?
Yes, it did. And it's yes. a courtroom drama that starts another one. No, but it starts in a very unusual way because it starts with the summing up of the prosecution and then this lovely guy basically tells his story. And it's
I think I've seen other positive comments about that in other arenas, Judith. I think, yes, this is one to watch.
Good.
Okay,
really
you
good.
Don't
good.
Know me. Yeah. I did finish Show Trial.
Oh, did you? Now, what did you think about the last episode?
I thought it was a bit of a cop-out.
Oh, why?
I just didn't believe it. I thought that the surrounding evidence, the stuff about her mother and all that kind of thing that came out of the blue, and I just thought it was a little bit pat.
Did you? Yeah.
Yes,
I did.
Yeah. I just sort of didn't think that was, the roots of that were deep enough. That said, I really liked her performance. I really liked what she was doing with it.
And the black lawyer, the lawyer that the lady was just incredible.
I thought that the girl stole the show totally and utterly, actually, and I quite liked the very weak young man.
Oh, no, I thought it was good.
Yeah, I was definitely very much worth watching, and still sticking with impeachment, which seems to sort of... goes, it's dragging on a little bit.
I'm a
now.
Bit bored with it. I'm not taken with it, really. I just think...
Well, it's not as good as it should be.
It isn't, actually.
It's a notch down from where it should be.
Yeah.
And it's kept... I think we've said this before, it's on the same note all
yes,
the time.
Yes, it is. I feel like we're sort of just trotting.
We're plodding. We're plodding with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what then about... Did you see House of Gucci?
Yeah, we went to the pictures. You know, remember when we used to call it the pictures? Went to see House of Gucci, which is quite long. Lady Gaga is amazing. God, she's good. But it was wonderful, actually, to have the 80s soundtrack and to see all that kind of detail of obviously fashion and the way people were smoking everywhere. And yeah, it was just, yeah. But the soundtrack is amazing. No, it's a good film. And you know, this pitiful kind of revenge that Lady Gaga plays the wife who literally ensnares him. I mean, the scene where she seduces him on the dance floor is absolutely incredible.
Did you get hot? Did you have to take your cardigan off? Did you want to touch yourself?
He was very nice, actually. He was rather attractive, you know.
And Al Pacino's in this.
Yes, he is. Very good. But there's one guy that plays the other son. I don't know what he's called, but I've actually seen this in a review. He's the most appalling actor.
Really?
There's one performance in it, which you just think, because it's Ridley Scott, you'd think, they might say, oh, this guy's fucking hopeless.
Maybe he's Ridley Scott's nephew or something.
Or maybe.
You know, or godchild.
Yes.
It'll be something like that. Anyway... I've been looking forward to seeing so many things during my tour break, and all I've seen is the insides of consultants, waiting rooms, and you know.
I know, and that's the other awful thing about being ill is it's time consuming, isn't it?
Oh,
it's all consuming.
Yeah, I'm already thinking about getting up into town this afternoon. Mind you, if I take my painkillers at the right time, I might manage a bit of a browse round Cos as well. I might manage a stroll up Regent Street.
I think that would do you good. Bit of normality.
I'll walk from Harley Street down to Piccadilly.
Yeah, I think you should do that.
Yeah, yeah. Get a little bit of fresher luft. Now, what about books, Judith? Have you actually managed to sit down to do your book club homework?
Yeah, well, on and off, although it's quite hard going because it's punishingly difficult as a read, which is Home Going by Yar Gyasi about the slave trade.
Okay.
And it's very, very clever, but it is relentlessly dark and relentlessly. You just think, oh my God.
I can just see you with your head in your hands, listening to this book, going, oh, this is.
I know, and then we did
sad.
That. Did we really do that as well?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, we did that.
Oh, is
it's
it all?
There's rape, there's abuse, there's,
oh God.
You know, there's everything. Okay. You know, people are literally knee deep in shit. It's. Yeah, it's pretty relentless.
You need something as an antidote to that, Judith. You need to do some two chapters of that and then dip into something light.
I do. However, Jenny Eclair, I downloaded the book which you recommended, but you got the bloody title wrong.
Listen, there's the two of us. We've got the sort of brain fog, the catching brain fog. You've got an excuse because you've got Judith syndrome. And I said, it's called Are We Nearly There Yet? And it isn't, of course. It's the book by Lucy Mangan, which is called Are We Having Fun Yet?
Yes, indeed. And not until I read your email yesterday did I realise that I was reading the wrong book. Because I've been struggling on with it, thinking, well, it's quite good, but it's not that good. And I realised I got the wrong one. So
no, really. Are you reading a book called Are We Nearly There
Yet? Yes, I am. I'm about four chapters in.
Who's that by?
Oh, another Lucy.
Lucy Mangan one, I think, is really good. And that's Are We Having Fun Yet?
Yeah. Okay. However, Are We Nearly There Yet is something else entirely.
I'm on The Third Girl by Agatha Christie. I think it's quite a late Agatha Christie. It's sort of set in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got a very fashionable book on the go on the Audible called The Assembly by Natasha Brown. But I'm not sure about that one yet. It's on all the lists, you know.
Is it?
All these best books of the year and all that kind of thing. Yeah,
but it sounds a bit taxing. You know,
mostly in the
poorly.
Evenings, I take Valium and I sleep, Judy.
Yeah, of course you do. Don't blame you. Yeah, save some for me, for God's sake. Don't you?
I am squirreling, obviously, because
yes,
you know,
I should hope you are.
I'm allowed two lots during the day for a muscle relaxant, and I'm only ever taking one because I'm thinking I'll need these another time.
Nice. Jolly good.
Okay, emails. Okay.
Emails. Obviously loads of lovely emails. People really worried about you.
Well, so they should be.
Yes, quite right. And lots of nice emails about me and the twins, which is smashing people.
I've already guessed names, by the way.
I've got
four names I'm going to put in an envelope.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've got no idea what the names are going to be, actually. So you're allowed to tell me you're going to put them in an envelope.
I'm going to put them in an envelope.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, okay.
And when she has them, before you know what they're called, you have to get me to open the envelope.
Okay, it's a deal. That's okay. A deal. Right. Okay, okay.
Do you have you asked her? Have you said? Have you thought about?
I know there's been sort of because I think we've got some middle name ideas, but they don't count, do they? They're the kind of things that you think you ought to do. Like I think after my dad and after his dad, but in terms of the main,
what was
names,
your dad called?
Well, he was called Gordon Stanley Holder.
Stan's good.
Stan's good, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. He always called himself Stan because he thought Gordon sounded too posh, and it is. It's a ridiculous name, Gordon. But, you know, I don't know.
Stan's
don't know.
A great name for a twin.
Do you think? Yeah, it is quite good,
envelope.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think you're allowed it if you get half a point if it's a middle name. Yeah, you get half
I
a
think
point.
They might swap that over. I think that might go. Because I think that short names for twins are quite good.
Yes. Well, you're too busy, aren't you, for any two syllables. Two syllables. Can't be bothered. I've got time. Yeah.
You don't want Sebastian and Benjamin. You don't. Oh.
Imagine.
Can have, you know, Seb and Ben, but yeah, you just want short names, twins.
You otherwise, you'd have to join them together, wouldn't you, Sebastian and Ben? You'd have to do amortize them, if that's the right word. Is that the right word?
Well
but
done,
you Judith.
I'm going to have to go and put look that up. Right. We've had a problem, have we not, Judith?
We had a problem from Sarah. Let me just scroll down and see how old she is. Oh, 52 and 3 months. Yeah, that's okay, Sarah, because we do like to know how old everybody is. And she says, okay, she says, hope you both well. I wondered if you could help me with a little problem. My friend Sandra turns 60 in December. What would you suggest I get her as a little prezzy? She's really lovely and I wanted to get the right kind of gift. Any suggestions? And as you can see, she says, I've already got her some merchandise. And by the way, yes, there is our merchandise available, isn't there? Mm.
You know, I just put a little photo up on the Instagram this morning, just reminding people that our shop, which is older and wider shop, .com, www.olderandwidershop, and you'll get to it. And then the merch is all that. I mean, it's really quite cheap and reasonable and all that sort of thing.
It is. It's a jolly good idea.
Okay.
So,
well,
so she's got a mug already.
Well, I'm back on tour next year. I mean, you know, once I've had this arm amputated, I'll be back. So there's always that. We'll think of something else for next week as well.
Or the pinny. She could get the pinny.
She could get the pinny.
Or the key ring.
She could get both. I mean, she's already bought merchandise, but I think she's only done the mug. So she hasn't got the full collection.
No, she hasn't.
But we'll think on that. And, you know,
we'll look forward to talking to you. Failing that's a Jo Malone, I'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Or a voucher.
Yeah. Nothing for your front bottom, though. Don't get Tamellis for front bottom, because that's hopeless at our age.
That's terrible. That's it, yes.
Don't work anymore.
You just might as well set it on fire, really, with a box of matches and some petrol. I've now got to go and take some more.
Yes, you have. You go and lie down, have some peanut butter on toast, and I'm going out on my bike, and I've got some secateurs because I know where there's a very nice holly tree with some berries.
Have you got a foraging bag with you? Have you got
I've got my saddle bag. You know, we'll be fine with that. Oh, don't you worry.
Brilliant.
But yes, but it is in their front garden, but on the road. Do you know what I mean? It just leans over. You know, it's very marginal once it's
leaning over the pavement.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Totally and utterly. Okay.
Been lovely to talk to you and lovely to have you back, Jenny. Yes. Take care. And you take care as well, Daisy. And hopefully we will see you next week.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Barring
surgery.
Let us know what happens on the. You put it on the notice board.
Okay.
If you have a minute. Okay. All right.
Take care, everybody. Lots of love. And speak soon. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye all.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.